Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the program. I am Tiffany Bacon here with Marcos Mercado. And today we are going to be talking about drama with the family, how to deal with the family, the in-laws, and other relatives during the Thanksgiving holiday. Yes, Thanksgiving is this Thursday, and it's time to prepare the house and prepare the mind for the family. And that's what we're talking about today. If you'd like to chime in on the conversation, which we encourage you to do so, please call us in Philadelphia at 215-263-1039. In Charlotte, dial 1-877-995-7644. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning, Tiffany. Yeah. And a good morning to Philly, to South Jersey, Delaware, and Charlotte. And even to our online listeners. We have many online listeners now.
Yes, we do.
And we are talking about drama with the family. You notice, Tiffany, it's not dinner with the family, it's drama with the family. Because we know in some families, there's always drama.
Yes.
And, you know, the holidays really can be a great time, or it can be a really tough and stressful time for so many. And as usual, before we begin our show, we would like to start with a word of prayer.
Yes.
So at this time, let's go to God. Father God in heaven, Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the show. For Beyond the Vows, God, but we thank you so much more even for marriage, God, and the institution that it is, and that it really is created by you, and you have a great plan for marriages to succeed. Father, be with all of us, God, and be with the listeners, whether they're married or single, looking for a relationship, God, or even struggling through a relationship. We pray that everything that is shared today would be edifying, God, it would encourage, and it would really meet the needs. Father, use us in a powerful way. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Awesome. So let's get into it. Have you experienced that?
Have I? You know, I have. I think at some level I have. It's probably not something I would write a book about or put in a film or anything. But, you know, I think everybody does experience something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's, you know, we say family and we assume that people understand, okay, family, you know, the way the Bible describes it. But some of our families were dysfunctional.
Right.
And so we think family, and we're like, oh, why would you want to get together with the family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a pressure, there's a lot of tension, and it could even be because of circumstances as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the economy is not doing so well. It's a little bit on an upswing, but it's people are still being laid off, and
right.
Perhaps you're one of them, and you're struggling, and you're like, oh, my goodness, the holidays are approaching, you know, and you feel that stress. Or perhaps you've even lost someone very dear to you during this time of year. And so the memories really make it difficult to move on.
Right.
Whatever the case may be, it really can be a tough time. And to answer your question, Tiffany, I'll share a little bit about it. You know, I think the most drama I've had, believe it or not, has been with my own family and not so much with my in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
My family is a huge family. You know, I'm Latino. So when we say family, I mean, it's everyone. It's aunt. Uncles, people who are not your uncle, you say they're your uncle, you know, their
right.
pet. I mean, you know, a little Chi-Chi, he's in the family too.
Yeah.
Everyone's in the family. And, you know, it could really, it's unpredictable. It's, I tell you this much, it's never a dull moment.
Okay.
But there is so much preparation. I mean, this year in itself, we have relatives coming from all over the world. We've spread out, cousin coming in from Japan.
Wow.
Who used to be in the military, but actually married someone out there, is living out there. Others from, I mean, all parts of the states.
Wow.
My father himself is driving up from Florida. So it's a big, big occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's always that drunk uncle, you know, that that you have to be careful about.
Always.
So it's like, oh, what in the world? What do we do? But, you know, this morning, as we talk about Thanksgiving dinner or even the holidays, you know, are you nervous? Are you nervous? Are you worried about Thanksgiving dinner? You know, if you are a wife or a man who likes to cook, are you so focused on the preparations?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just trying to work things out and try to get the day off? And or maybe you're trying to get to that Black Friday. You're trying to kind of leave your family, dismiss them really quickly and go shopping or something.
Right.
You know, or it might even be the first time you're getting together with the in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be a little nervous about it. Or the first time your wife or your husband gets to meet, I mean, truly meet your family. You know, not like it was on the wedding day where everybody puts their best foot forward.
Right.
But the true colors of family.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps this is the first holiday season that you're actually a Christian, that you're saved, and that you're trying to look at things very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have, Tiffany, we have two theme scriptures.
Okay.
And we'll, as always, we'll look at many passages throughout the show. The first one is Philippians 2, verse 3. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's Matthew 6, verse 34.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll focus on these a little bit. You know, the first one, Philippians 2, it's really helping us in preparing our hearts to think about others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a time to think about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a temptation for many of us. You know, okay, this is a time to rest. We've been working hard all year.
Right.
Ooh, the holidays are approaching. Here we go. We want to go ahead and rest. But, you know, when you're talking about family, you have to give.
Yeah.
My wife and I have a saying, Tiffany, that when we're spending time with family, it's great, but it's not a vacation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So even for all our listeners, even if you're going away, do not make the mistake of thinking, whoo, you're going to have a vacation. If you're getting with family, there will be some work involved.
Absolutely.
There'll be some catching up to do. There might be some things you need to resolve. And it just might be sometimes that your family might want to talk late at night, early in the morning. They might want you to do certain things with them.
Mm-hmm.
So really preparing your hearts to consider others better than yourself. And to be giving.
Absolutely.
And then the following one, the one in Matthew 6, where it talks about do not worry. This in this passage, Jesus is talking about all the material things.
Mm.
And like I said, as the show progresses, we'll talk about, you know, what to focus on and what not to focus on. Because there are things that will bring such a toil and stress into your relationship. And you don't want that. You want to encourage your spouse. You want to encourage your family during this time.
Absolutely.
Well, what about you, Tiffany? That you asked me the question. Has there been drama in your family?
Actually, you know what? Not that I really remember as of late, because unfortunately we don't get together as much as we used to.
Well, that's drama in itself.
That is drama in itself. We don't get together as much. My brother is in the service and he is stationed down in Georgia, so he can't always come up. In fact, I think the last two holidays he hasn't been home.
Wow.
And he was deployed to Afghanistan and he's back, but he just can't get up to us. And then like my family is just kind of spread out. So we don't come together like we used to. And when we did, I remember specifically when I was little, it was really a fun time. There wasn't as much drama as it was, just maybe the stress. I remember my aunt and my mom cooking for days. Like they would start Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Really?
My aunt would start cooking certain things and she would store them. And then each day of the week, she would cook something different so that she wasn't bombarded on Thursday morning with all this cooking. And we just had so many selections of food. But I just remember all the different personalities at the dinner table, and listening to the stories. It would be a lot of cross-talking stories. And every now and again, you would hear the stories of maybe someone's relationship on the verge of breaking up. It would be revealed at the Thanksgiving table.
Okay.
And so it would be the look of surprise, like, I thought aunt and uncle happy were happy, you know, or whatever. And that, I just remember that. And sometimes that could be an area of support because you're saying, okay, hi, we're having trouble. And so the family is there to support. And then sometimes it could cause a discussion like, well, why is this happening? You know?
Well, it's true. But let me ask you this. I mean, you're not meeting with the family as much, obviously, as you used to. But as a single person, is there pressure when your family gets together and they ask you, so when are you getting married? Are you is there someone special in your life?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yes, I will answer that. I just wanted to remind you, we are looking for you to call in and share your stories of the upcoming holiday season, you and your spouse, what you and your family will be getting into, if you're concerned about any issues, if there's any family drama that you dealt with last year and you're trying to avoid it this year. or, you know, if you're dealing with any sadness because you lost someone in the course of the year between last holiday and this coming holiday, and how you might be handling it, please feel free to give us a call, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. That's how you can reach us. As a single person, you know, when my grandmother was living, she would be the main one to ask me, so is there anyone special, Tiffany? What's going on? You know, you got a little friend. You're going to be bringing him to dinner. What's going on? And my mom doesn't pressure me.
Okay.
Which I think is a good thing. My brother does. My brother is on this. You're getting older. When are you going to give mom some grandkids? When are you getting married? So I get that pressure from my brother, who's younger, by the way. But the rest of my family, they really don't bother me. I think they know that I've been on the career track most of my life. And they're pretty excited that I'm trying to get that out of the way. My mom has always encouraged me to do my life, do my career, so when it's time to settle down and have children, I can really honestly, wholeheartedly dedicate my energy and time to that and not feel like maybe I've missed something. So I've kind of been groomed to do that. So I don't really get a lot of that pressure.
Sounds like that is a blessing. You know, a little pressure is good. Too much is not good.
Too much is
bad. You know,
I
have a good friend that I tell you, the family not only asks those questions, but they try to hook her up.
Ooh.
I mean, they're like, oh, so-and-so, you know, from down the street, you got to meet Bubba. You know, Bubba is the guy for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, thank you, you know.
Exactly.
I'm okay. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm waiting on God.
Sometimes those hookups are so bad.
Oh, let me tell you, it has been. I mean, it's. I tell you, in some cultures, it's really scary. You know, they just really want, like you said, they want the grandkids. Mm-hmm. You got to be married. And, you know, it's not necessarily true. Now, some people want to be married and some people don't. Like you said, you've made some choices in life.
Yeah.
You've decided to pursue your career first and get it out your system and do all those things. And then now you're like, okay, God, it might be time, but you don't want that pressure. I mean, marriage is a lot obviously, I would say there's a lot of prayer that goes into it, but it's a very serious relationship. You don't want to just jump into it out of pressure.
Right.
So
that's always a bad thing. Well, let's hear from you. Give us a call, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We have an anonymous caller from Philadelphia on the line. Hi, good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Awesome. What's your comment or question?
Yeah, I wanted to comment. It's funny. I was just thinking about this. I'm driving along, and before your broadcast came on, I was thinking about this very topic, this situation, because my husband and I have been separated now for going on 2 years, and we, you know, that's another issue, but we separated because one of the reasons him not being able to get along with people that live in my household, this is, you know, my second marriage. So anyway, I know he wants to come over, but he was just recently at the house, and I know he's going to want to come over for Thanksgiving, and it's still the same mentality and the same attitude is there. I feel bad when I don't invite him, but I don't want to deal with him not being able to get along with my daughter, you know, because of things that he's done, and they're having a hard time forgiving him, even though I have. They, you know, my family is not really as receptive to him as I would like for them to be, but, you know, they have to work that out. So I'm really uncomfortable about having him through the house, and I feel bad about that because, you know, I'm like, I don't know if I should have him or not have him. You know, my daughter may not want to come, and, you know, it's just a whole slew of problems that I see presenting itself if I invite them.
All right, Marcos, what do you have to say?
I think the first thing is communication. You know, it sounds like you do, you're very concerned about your family, which is a good thing, and the fact that you are not together anymore, you're basically inviting him in. He's really not necessarily a part of the family anymore in the sense that and without getting into the reasons why you guys are not together anymore, in so many ways, he'll have to be an invited guest. So my encouragement to you would be communication. Mm-hmm. Communicate this with the kids. You mentioned your daughter might not want to come to get together. I think you, out of love and respect for her, you need to ask her, how would you feel if he came? You know, how would you feel if this happened? Or you know, just having that discussion first. And then that way, everyone is even praying and preparing their hearts. And then they could also be forgiving. But one thing that you, in some ways, you're asking about and something that we highly recommend is don't wait for that day to get resolved about certain things or wonder if they're going to come up. If there are pending issues, hurts, reservations, or anything like that, it would be a good idea to resolve those things first. And maybe not totally resolve them where you're totally patched up, but really starting to have some dialogue about them. So my encouragement to you, it really could be a great opportunity for you to talk to your family, talk to your kids, and even talk to him about this situation and say, look, I'm honest, I would love for you to be there, or maybe I won't love for you to be there, but it might be important for you to be there. Let's talk about this.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. I hope.
Instead of stressing about it ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, because it's unpredictable, and then instead of enjoying the date, you have no idea. And you don't want surprises. You don't want your daughter coming in not expecting that. Wait a minute. He's here? You know, that's just a little awkward.
Right, right.
So really, you know, be able to communicate so you can prepare your hearts and pray beforehand.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll do that.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much for calling, and I hope we were able to help you this morning.
Yes. I feel at ease already.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Be blessed.
Enjoy. Thank you.
All right. We have another anonymous caller calling in from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Oh, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Hi. How are you?
I'm okay, a little on the stress side. Did a lot of praying this morning. I'm on my way to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I just lost my father, April. I was born on his birthday. It's only been 6 months. I have a lot of reservations about going to see his wife. Which is, you know, my dad's wife. And I have a lot of resentment towards her, but I'm on my way out there, and I really needed to know how to deal with the situation.
Okay.
He's been gone for 6 months, and she's not only dating someone else already, but I have a lot of resentment towards that, and I've been praying every day for me to be able to forgive her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to deal with the situation. I'm going to the house to go through things while I'm out there. The last time I was there was in April, was at the funeral. And since then, there's been a lot of built-up resentment in me. And I even got in the car this morning and prayed, you know, that I have a safe trip.
Yeah.
And try to learn and try to, I don't know how to react when I see her. I'm very upset.
Okay. Marcos, what do you have to say?
I don't know if you were able to listen to the previous caller, but one of the things that we really are recommending is that you have some discussion before you get together as a family. And what I mean by that is you don't want these things to come out during dinner. You know, you don't want them to come out when the rest of your family's there. And I know you've been wrestling with this. It's very obvious. You're praying about it. Even on your way there, you're praying. You think there's any way you can have a conversation prior to this time?
Yes, because I'm on my way out there now. I won't be seeing her until Tuesday.
Okay.
And I am like, I have so many mixed emotions. Like, God keeps telling me to forgive her, but then the other side of me says, how dare she, you know, do this? And I don't want to go in there because I am Christian. I don't want to go in there and start, like, blowing up, like, yeah, I could talk to her beforehand. I just need to really pray before I get there because my reactionary, because I'm a reactor.
Okay.
And the problem is I don't want to blow up so bad on her to make her feel like, I really feel sorry for her. Like, I don't know, because I don't know what she's actually going through or how she's dealing with the grief.
Sure. It can totally be something that she's reacting to herself in terms of this relationship.
Right. And she was 53 and my dad was 84.
Okay.
And they were married for 25 years. And this guy that she's dating is now 73. So I have to also understand that she's probably has a caretaker mentality.
Okay.
And she needs an older man in her life for whatever reason. But I just feel like me in my heart, when I found out that she was actually seeing somebody, I went into rage.
Okay.
And then I needed to calm down because that's her life.
It is. You know, I have two quick things, if you don't mind, to mention to you. One of them is, I want to encourage you to, you said you blew up, you know, you vented. I want to encourage you to do that in prayer. If you read the Psalms, you see that the psalmist, specifically when it was David and he was being attacked by his enemies, whether it was Saul or people were after him. I mean, you just read those prayers, those Psalms, and you just know he's pouring out his heart to God. And he's saying everything he feels. He's like, my enemies, I mean, I wish they were, you know, totally annihilated and take them away. But then towards the end of the prayer, he's like, but God, you are gracious. And you can just see the struggle throughout many of the Psalms where the psalmist is just praying to God, being honest and gut level honest, but then getting resolved. And as a result, he was able to be forgiving towards Saul and not vengeful. And so prayer has a lot to do with it. And you're saying you're praying, but my encouragement to you would be to pray, you know, your heart out. I mean, tell God everything you feel, how angry you are, how unfair it is, whatever it is, but then get resolved in your prayer. Don't get up out of, you know, off your knees until you're resolved. And the second one is a scripture in Luke where it says, do not judge or you will be judged. Do not condemn or you will be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. That's Luke 6, verse 37. Now, there's a, you know, there's a misconception. There's a fallacy out there where people say, don't judge. It doesn't say don't judge at all. It says don't judge or you will be judged, meaning that there might be a time or the measure that you use will be used against you, meaning there might be a time where you might be going through the very same thing and someone might be tempted to be judgmental towards you. And so the same level of respect that you would want or the dialogue you would expect, I mean, perhaps that's why I'm encouraging you to go ahead and have some dialogue with her, because like you said, there might be, after listening to her, you might say, oh my goodness, I see where she's coming from. You might not relate to it or totally understand it, but you would see it and maybe you won't judge her as much.
Right. And the thing is that I don't want to blow up on her because I really wouldn't want anyone to blow up on me. And that's why after I went off on this texting thing of screaming and yelling in capital letters, the next day I was totally convicted and apologized via text. But I did apologize for my actions, you know, but just seeing her face to face after 6 months, I have to really do what you say do. I have to really let God have it all.
Yes, and don't do it via text. I mean, it sounds like you learned that.
No. I'm going to do it, you know, face.
If you have to write it, my encouragement would be write it first on, you know, on an actual, you know, pen and paper, ink, and then have that conversation. Maybe bring the letter and be like, look, I wrote some thoughts. Because sometimes a good thing about writing something down, not texting it, because texting it, you press send and it's gone. When you write it down for yourself, then you can pray, you can think about it, you can reflect about it for a little bit, you can run it by someone else. You can also read it again and say, oh my goodness, am I, see what you did with the texting, I mean, yeah, you noticed it afterwards, but it was too late. You pressed send already.
Exactly.
So, but we would definitely pray
for
you. Yes.
I want you to just pray for me that I make it safe on this turnpike. Because I'm going to the very end. I prayed and prayed. I said, Lord, I know you'll get me there, and I'm going to do the right thing when I get there.
All right. Awesome. We definitely will. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you so much. And have a blessed Thanksgiving.
And you do the same.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. We have Jack calling in from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air. Yes, good morning. Jack, hi. You're live on the air. Good morning. Okay, Jack wasn't ready to talk. That's okay. We are looking for you to give us a call. Tell us about your concerns, your issues with the upcoming holiday season. Are you worried about anything involving the family, the in-laws? Is this your first time with your in-laws? Are you newlyweds and you're a little nervous about having the whole family together? Or are there other extenuating circumstances you're concerned about as the family gathers on Thursday for Thanksgiving? Give us a call, share your story, and seek advice. 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. More Marriage Beyond the Vows returns right after this.
And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to the show. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Marcos Mercado. Today we are talking about drama with the family, how to deal with family, the in-laws, and other relatives during the Thanksgiving holiday. Also, any personal issues you may be dealing with if you just lost a family member, if you just lost your spouse, how to handle being around the family for the holidays. So give us a call, 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. Marcos, we have Portel calling in from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
How are you, ma'am?
All right, doing well, doing well. What's your comment or question?
My question is, I'm a Christian right now. Before you're a Hindu, and still my wife is a Hindu, you know. So I want to pray about her, so accept the Christ. Mm-hmm. That's my question.
Okay, so you were a Hindu for 40 years, and now you're a Christian?
Yes, sir.
And you're trying to pray for you. Now, how does that affect you in the marriage? Has there been tension in the marriage that you converted?
Yeah, it's very tight, you know, the marriage.
Mm.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely be praying for you. Prayer is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll definitely pray for you. And is there anything in particular that you're struggling with in addition to the change of your religion?
No, that's mean. Actually, I accept the Christ about my life is going bad and bad, mm-hmm. go down and down,
mm-hmm.
and going a lot of things, the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. One time I watching TV in the gospel channel,
mm-hmm.
and I just for a minute to pray about the Jesus, and mm-hmm. he changed my life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, we wish you all the best. We are definitely going to pray for you, and we thank you so much for calling us this morning.
Yeah. And pray about my wife, accept the Christ, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she's Hindu right now. She's Hindu, and she believes a lot in Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I want to change her, accept the Christ.
Okay.
My older son, he take me in a church and accept the Christ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's 16 years old.
Yes.
And that's why I accept the Christ, you know.
Okay.
And a lot of things, my life is better and better now.
Okay.
That's great, Portel.
Yeah.
Stay strong. Keep praying. God will lead you in the right direction, and he will definitely use you mm-hmm. if you trust him to make an impact on your wife.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Thank you so much for your call.
Okay. God bless you.
All right. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Marcos, I know we always have some scripture and spiritual reference for people, especially I know a lot of people are probably really having a hard time with the loss of a loved one. If you've lost your spouse or lost your parents or grandparents during this time last year, this can be a very, very difficult time. And then, you know, just trying to deal with your family without the presence of that person. I know sometimes if you have a maternal figure who is the person who usually keeps the family together, and if that person has passed away, it could be really hard to reach out to your siblings or cousins, aunts and uncles without that person there because they have been the glue. What advice would you give to someone who's in that situation?
Wow. Well, there are so many scriptures. I think one of our callers mentioned from a different point of view, but they mentioned that they lost their father.
Mm-hmm.
And the Psalms are probably the most comforting parts of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many passages there, you know, where, like Psalm 112, where it says, "We have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. He will have no fear of bad news," meaning that, mm-hmm. you know, when you totally trust God, you're not fearful.
Right.
You're able to heal. Psalm 115, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it goes on and on. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Again, right. Psalm 115, but verse 11. And so Proverbs as well, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Mm.
You know, the world, our own understanding of grieving or dealing with these situations is to vent, is to drink, is to, you know, substitute, you know, that pain or medicate that pain with something else. And the Bible's like, no, trust in God. There is some healing that can come from this. And so there is so many passages, so many scripture verses that you could just simply open up into the Psalms, into Proverbs, and get that healing. The other one is, don't do it by yourself.
Right.
You know, look for a close friend or a minister, or, you know, this is the opportunity to draw closer to God. You know, death, according to Ecclesiastes, the house of mourning is better than the house of feasting, meaning that, you know, it's sobering. You think about life very differently after a loss.
Right.
And so my encouragement to everyone who has lost someone is really draw closer to God during this time.
Absolutely. Awesome. Awesome words of encouragement. And we know that this can be very difficult. I have a couple of friends who lost their parents around the holidays last year. So I know it's particularly difficult for them right now.
You know, that's a good thing that you remember that. If you perhaps are not going through that, but you know someone that does, this is a good time to invite them to your family or invite them to spend some time together. A lot of great movies come out. You know, some people might and might not like to go to the movies, but if you do, it's a great opportunity. There's a lot of shopping. You know, there are different things you can do to spend time, excuse me, with close friends.
Right. Right.
And reach out to them. Think about them. Hey, I'm praying for you. I remember, you know, you lost, you know, your mom, you lost your wife, you lost your husband, you lost a child during this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, I know my wife during this time of year, she always remembers her sister who lost her nephew. And she's actually making a trip out there today to spend a day with her to really encourage her, because even though it's been a few years, it's still really tough, especially during this time of year.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we would like to hear from you. If you're looking to share your testimony, your stories, if you need some encouragement right about now, this is a great time to call 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Let's first go to Tony calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'd like to make a comment
about
how to deal with the visiting of the families. We have devised a plan where we go to my mother-in-law's on Christmas Eve. We stay home on Christmas Day. Then we go to my parents on the day after Christmas.
Okay.
That way everybody's happy and we all get to eat three different times.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. That's a good thing. And what about Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, we alternate.
Mm-hmm.
We alternate years.
Okay.
Some years we go to his family, and his family alternates houses.
Okay.
But so some days, some years we go to his family, and then other years we just go to my grandmother's, who is this central Thanksgiving day.
Fantastic. Sounds like you guys have a lot of good things planned, and it's good to hear that. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Tony.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. We have Kim calling in from Camden, New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
Awesome. What's your comment or question?
Well, my question is how do you get over some things that you've been through for so long and that it just eats at you, and you know that it was you partly wanting to give it up. Like, I've been with my daughter's father all my life. He went to jail for 11 years. I waited, built the house, and kept the family together. And he came out, and I got sick after working two jobs, three jobs. And he came out, and he said that we were going to be a family. And all he wanted, he was angry. And I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I believe that the man is supposed to be in control of the home. I built the house. He was supposed to keep the home. And he tore the home down with the anger and the hurt. And I don't know how to get past it because I let him go, and now I want him back. And now he said he didn't come out of jail 11 years to be with a sick woman. I have Raynard's. I turned my back on my family because of the fact that I've been so sick that I had almost lost my faith in God. You know, that how strong and great he is. I had to look back and sit back and see how good God was to me and how good he has been to me. I have had the devil coming at me in all kinds of ways, in the form of my friends, my family. And my thing is, the holidays are coming. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how to deal with it. He lost his sister. He never even took me to family dinners. But, like, how do I take my daughter to, you know, like his family was, you know, like, should I let her go alone, even though they invited me to? You know, I don't know what to do. And my heart is so heavy and so hurtful that the devil is attacking me in all kinds of ways. He got all kinds of men coming at me. He got all kinds of friends.
Okay. All right, Kim, I have a question.
Yes.
If you can, you know, be honest about this one. Were you married to him?
We weren't married. He did, after, when he came home, he did ask me to marry. He gave me a ring, but I refused to take the ring until we worked out some issues that we had. You know, like he gave me a disease, and then he wanted to get married.
Okay, okay. Well, this is what I'm getting to here. You mentioned how you built this home. You go to church. How... I'm just trying to figure out what you were thinking in terms of trying to build a family and a home with him without
him being there.
No, not just without him being there, without him coming home and saying, okay, this is my husband, but we're going to build a family together.
Because he told me when he was there that we were going to be a family, that he, you know, that...
I understand, but, you know, the Bible talks about the covenant of marriage.
Right.
And that's how you define marriage, and that's how you define family. Through the covenant of marriage. And so it sounds like you're trying to define something that's really non-existent.
Right.
I have a question, Kim. I'm sorry.
How do you get past that?
Not just how do you get past that, is how do you expect, and please, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I don't know your situation. No, I'm not, because I don't know your situation, but I can tell you what the scriptures say, is if you are a churchgoer and if your focus is God first, then how do you think God feels about you trying to put a family together and not doing it his way?
That's why it's not working.
Exactly.
And that's just why it's not working. But how do you get your heart to know? You know your mind. You
yes.
know that. Like, I have faith in God. Everything I have done, he has always been first. That's why I have been so blessed. You know what I mean? Like I said, through all my sickness and everything, losing my job and everything, he has covered me and carried me through, because there's no way I have done this all by myself. I know that. But how do I, in the weak flesh, know that these things are wrong?
You know they're wrong. Let me ask you a question here, though. We're talking about the fact that you've already admitted to that you see your fault there. Why would you want to repeat something that God has said you've already made a mistake and it's fallen and it crumbled?
Right.
You know, in Matthew, where it talks about, you know, the wise man builds his house on the rock, you know, and then when the storms come, it stands. Yet, you know, and then it says the foolish one build it on sand because it doesn't have a foundation.
Oh, I read that all the time, and I keep reading that over, but I can't grasp it. You know, like, that is the scripture I keep going to. Like, why... He built the rock, you know, you built the rock, you stand on the rock. He built his on sand.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? So why are you, and you know it crumbled because God showed you that it wasn't moving in the direction that you wanted and God wanted it to go in.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't I let it go? Why am I hurting so bad?
Why? Because Luke 9:23, it says, anyone who comes to him must deny himself. Your flesh wants one thing. Your spirit wants another. God's spirit is saying, let it go. It's not right. And here's the thing, Kim. If it was right from God, it would be different.
Mm.
It would be different. He would come to you. He would say, look, I am sorry. I mean, he's already. And that's the devil. I mean, and I'm not saying he's the devil, but the devil is using him
yes.
to hurt you. And you're falling into this trap over and over again. It's. You know, the devil, there's a reason why it's called temptation. It sounds good, it's pretty, but it falls apart.
Yes.
And
yes.
So here you are, you've already seen it fall apart, and then you're like, oh, but it's still good. It's not good. It's only going to bring you grief. it sounds to me like you might have to even journal things. I don't always encourage people to do, but in some cases, you might have to journal and try to remember all the challenges you went through, all the hurt, all the things he's, and then look at it objectively and say, is that really what I want? I mean, God has given me freedom. He's given me a way out. And do I want to go back to that?
And I pray that, and that's what I keep saying. God put this apart because he knew it wasn't structured right. Why are you taking yourself through all of this when you know God wants better for you?
Yes.
But when, you know, and then it took my daughter through a lot.
Sure. It brings
our
relationship.
We had a found, strong relationship. He came, you know what I mean? He's like, he destroyed our relationship where we had to rebuild our family in our house, and it's always been just me and her, and you know what I mean?
Sure, but it's not just him. You've allowed it as well.
I know, and that's the whole thing. It's like, I feel like it's all me.
Okay. Well, that's good. You take responsibility, and now you can change. Just don't make the mistake again.
Like, don't go back, right?
Don't go back. I mean, look what happened. What happened to Lot's wife?
He left me. He brought another woman. I was there. And I know that it's not right. I know it's not built on God.
So, Kim, what we'd like to ask you this morning is that you definitely read the scriptures that Marcos gave you and pray and don't go back. You know, unfortunately, we're going to have to move on. And so we're going to pray for you, and we're going to hope that you will be able to understand that you can't go backward. You have to continuously move forward. All right. And we wish you all the best. And thank you so much for calling us this morning. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I need this.
That's all right. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Amen. Stay strong.
All right. Bye-bye. We have Brother Aaron calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. How are you?
All right. This is Brother Aaron.
Yes.
I tell you, I'm getting a mouthful, or should I say an earful, with all the blessings. And the thing is, I just wanted to share, sister that just called Kim. Mm-hmm. I do go to the same church, and I'm going to the North Church this morning. So my name is Aaron, so if she needs some blessings, I can share with her. But I want to get back in focus with some of the issues. The first call, when she called in, and she discussed about her husband and about whether she should invite him to the Thanksgiving and everything. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to take a look at Christ and what Christ did. And Christ had his 12 disciples. What Christ did in the midst of the 12 disciples, he knew that one was going to go against him, which was Judas. Mm-hmm. He knew he was full of the devil. The thing about it was Christ still loved them. Christ still let them partake of the Thanksgiving and even partake of eating at the table, etc. But yet, the ultimate thing was he showed Judas love, love that was not of him but of God, from the Father. And we got to think, when we are inviting people, not just for Thanksgiving only, but any given day, are we showing our family, or are we showing ourselves, or are we showing the love of Christ? And that's what's important. We just want to focus on the holiday. Focus on every day as a day of love and thanksgiving and giving and things like that. And that's very important.
Yes. Aaron, I have a question for you.
Yes,
sir. Are you married?
Not presently, sir.
Okay. If just hypothetically, if you think about it, if you were married, and your wife was unfaithful.
Can I interject? Yes, I was married previously, but that was the case, I will say, and I know it was adulterous.
Okay, and she wants to bring the man that she was with to Thanksgiving dinner to your family's house. Mm. What will you do?
Well, if I was in my flesh before Christ, I would have been enraged. And I honestly will say, in my previous relationship, yes, I was. But now, because I'm in Christ, see, I have to let the indwelling of the Spirit work on my heart.
Okay.
I have to learn to forgive her.
Will you invite her to your family with her man?
Yes, most definitely. If she want to bring him, most definitely. I have no problem
okay.
with that.
See, I mean, God bless you for that. I'm glad you would do it. I wouldn't. And I don't think we can use that scripture where Jesus loved Judas so much that he had dinner with him. Now, after a time, if there's healing and, you know, they move on, they get married, whatever, and, you know, you reconcile, perhaps. But right at the moment, while it just happened, and he, I mean, honestly, unless there's something I'm going to put in that food that I want him to eat, I mean, I'm, and I'm just being real here. It's
well,
it's
you
like you said, it is the flesh. Well, no, and it's a joke. I'm not saying that I would do anything to them, but I would, you know, the Bible does talk about, you know, you don't, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And why would you put yourself in a situation where you can't handle it? So, I mean, it really depends, but I don't think, and all I'm trying to say here, Aaron, is that we need to be careful that we don't use a scripture and say that that's an absolute and that everybody needs to now, you know, invite, you know, someone in their family that's going to bring stress or is going to bring hardship or even that's going to bring harm to the rest of their family.
So, well, let's look at it initially. I mean, God decides as whether you're going to allow mankind to see another day or he decides to allow you to see another day.
Sure.
Even with Thanksgiving, even if you invited that person that's you know, chaotic or whatever, don't get me wrong, I understand about the tension or whatever, but the key thing is the love is going to be manifest because if, even if that person is still manifests that same kind of spirit or hatred or whatever, are you going to leave with him when he leaves the love of God, or is he going to still have the love, or not the love, or the hate of the family? He has to know, even if it comes years down the line, he's not invited again anymore. Did he leave with the thought that there was love in the air that was not of the family but of God? You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Or is it the same tension?
I agree, Aaron. We're talking about two different things. One is loving and forgiving, and we're on the same page about that. We need to love people. We need to forgive them. We need to pray for those who persecute us. I mean, that's biblical.
Yes.
But it doesn't say that you go ahead and have dinner with them. As a matter of fact, there are many passages which says, with such a man, do not even eat. You know, if it's someone that really hurt the church or hurt you, I mean, you don't do that.
Right.
So all I'm saying is we're talking about two very different things. So I'm with you there. Let's love, let's forgive. But let's not put ourselves, you know, in a situation where it's going to be chaotic, where we know what's going to happen. There's going to be a time bomb. The kids are going to be hurt as a result. I mean, you know, it should be a time of peace. And the dinner, especially a Thanksgiving dinner, should be a great time with
Absolutely.
The family. So that's all we're saying, Aaron.
And Brother Aaron, thank you so much for your call, for your comments. And thank you for listening to us here at Marriage Beyond the Vows.
All right. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Have a great day. All right, we are still talking about the drama with the family, dealing with family, the in-laws, and other relatives during the Thanksgiving holiday. We'd like for you to give us a call if you'd like some advice or if you would like to share your testimony. 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We'll have more conversation right after this.